Liz Coley is in the studio tonight. She's one of our very talented Cincinnati writers. She writes young adult literature. Her latest novel is titled Pretty Girl 13. It's already been translated into 9 other languages. Liz, I welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
There's a very special psychiatric condition, correct me if that's not the right term, that is front and center in this book and is something that I think is so important to shed light on. So before we start on the actual characters in the novel and so forth, tell us what DID is, please.
DID is dissociative identity disorder, which used to be known as multiple personality disorder. And it's psychiatric phenomenon whereby a person's mind can compartmentalize traumatic experience into different parts of the memory so that parts know what happened and parts don't. There are people who have just a couple of personalities. There have been people who've been documented to have 10 or 20 personalities that are acting virtually independently from each other.
And they have different responses to the situation.
They have different responses. There may be male and female personas within the same person's brain. Some may be left-handed, some may be right-handed. They may have different abilities. It's an absolutely fascinating survival mechanism.
Is there one, if you will, general situation that these personalities are created in response to, or might there be multiple situations where somebody would go to this as a coping mechanism, if you will?
It's very strongly associated with early childhood sexual or physical or extreme emotional abuse.
Let's move on then to Angie, who is Pretty Girl 13, and she's at the center of your novel. We first meet her when she's 13, and then there are 3 years of her life that we kind of fast forward through and then go back to pick up. So let's begin with a camping trip. She's on a camping trip. And what happens?
She's in the Los Angeles Crest Mountains on a Girl Scout campout, and she leaves the campsite early in the morning to find a private place to take care of business. Somebody suddenly appears behind her in the woods, and the last thing that she remembers is hearing a little voice yell, "Quick, hide!" And then she's gone. The next thing that happens, she finds herself in her neighborhood at home, and it's 3 years later.
Everyone is surprised, of course, at her reappearance, and she's surprised because she has amnesia, if you will. And so there are these 3 years that she's lost mentally, goes back to school. She left at 13, now she's 16. What grade does she go back to? One of the things that I really appreciated about your novel is that she's very out of sync with her peers and with people with whom she was great friends. But she's got an important friend who knows what it's like to be your own person, go your own way. So tell us about Kate, if you would.
She had several friends on the campout with her, Kate and Livy, and they've gone in different directions. Livy has become a little bit more of a troublemaker and a sassy girl. And Kate has really maintained a very strong moral core and has become a leper, as she calls herself, at school because she turned somebody in for drinking at a party when she was worried about the circumstances. So she knows what it's like to stand alone and have to make your own way, but stick to what you believe in.
Another interesting thing about your book is that you do introduce us to a therapeutic process that Angie experiences. So if you would talk about that and whether it's something that's actually used today or whether it's something that people are hoping will be helpful.
There are a couple of different elements of Angie's therapy. One is talk therapy. One is hypnosis, which is definitely used with people with dissociative identity disorder. Another is a light bar that's used for post-traumatic stress treatment. And there is, for some reason, you can decouple the emotional trauma from the memory of the event using this light bar while you're remembering and recalling what happened. Somehow you reprogram your brain. Now, I took things a step further and postulated a treatment that may not be completely out of the picture, you know, maybe in 10 years. by which the specific parts, the specific neurons involved in memories can be turned on and off. And because of post-traumatic stress disorder, because of all of the pain that people who've been in war zones have experienced, there are experiments that go on right now with trying to modify memory. One of the reasons I wrote this book was I asked the question, if you had control over what you could remember, and if you had the choice of remembering or forgetting the most traumatic things that ever happened to you, what should you do? To what extent are these terrible memories part of who you are, and should you embrace them or should you reject them?
How many personalities ultimately are uncovered, if you will, come forth?
Altogether, there are six, including Angie herself.
One of the things I wondered about is if it's common when one has this condition to have one of the personalities be literally an angel and or a superhuman, super powerful presence. Is that a common experience with DID?
I think so. I think there is usually a personality who's a very protective figure, can be a male or a female, but often a sort of strong male figure in the person's mind. It's also typical to have a sort of innocent young core who's left behind or preserved at different stages. And there is typically a function called the gatekeeper or the librarian that sort of has mastery over the whole situation and doesn't come out as a person in and of himself or herself, but manages what's going on and maybe even has the overview and the collective memories of the group.
I would imagine either you did a lot of research for this. What was that process like? How long did it take?
When I knew I was going to write this book, I spent the entire summer before the November in which I decided to start writing it, reading autobiographies and biographies of people with DID. I read papers, scientific journal articles online. And once I had done that sort of baseline research, I interviewed someone I knew who was a recovered multiple to just make sure that I was on base with what I was planning to do with the story, and found, again, there are so many commonalities between the people who've experienced this in terms of the highly metaphoric internal life that they have, the imagery, the kinds of roles the different personalities take on. This was all reinforced when I interviewed this person who said, yes, this is what it's like.
You have had a couple of what must be truly rewarding responses to your book. So I'd like you to talk about those, but also what did you want readers to take away?
Well, first I'll talk about some of what I've heard from people. A couple of different things that really warm an author's heart. Just I had a boy contact me through a librarian. This was a boy who was in the juvenile system, and this was the first book that he ever loved, and he discovered reading by reading this book. So that made me feel warm all over. I've heard from a couple of people who have DID who thanked me for representing their condition in a positive way and showing it as a survival mechanism, not as an aberration. And I've heard from a nursing student in Australia that she decided to go into psychological nursing. I heard from another student who decided to go into medicine or psychology because they'd read the book. So it's really nice to know that besides just being a story and a few hours of entertainment, more or less, that people spend with it, it also is having an effect on people.
Absolutely. A good read, certainly, but thank you for shedding light on this condition that I suspect exists a lot more than we think it does. Thanks for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Liz Coley about her latest novel. It's titled Pretty Girl 13, and you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.